This is a podcast from BizNetworkGuy.com.
Welcome to Biz Network Guy. I have a very, very special podcast for you today. Really pleased to say that we are interviewing a chap called Gary Vaynerchuk. Now, some of my listeners will probably have no idea who he is. Many, many of you will. So I think you're going to know what you're getting here. It's going to be very exciting. It's not going to be boring. And it's going to be full of some insight and good stuff. So really look forward to it. Not going to mess around. Let's crack on and talk to Gary straight away.
Hey, it's Gary.
We get there in the end. The wonders of technology. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm so sorry for the headaches.
That's no problem at all. I'm just really delighted to be on the line with you. It's a great honour, I've got to say.
I appreciate it. It's very nice. Thank you, my friend.
Okay. Look, I just want to, if you don't mind, I want to just sort of start with just sort of giving you a bit of context on how I know you and, you know, I mean, I suppose
everybody comes
to you from a different angle. Just hacking back a couple of years ago, I was in a completely different industry and a different life, and I was working for other people and doing stuff, and it was quite fun stuff, working for the Olympic Games, that sort of thing.
And, okay, great.
But it sort of started to fall out of the bed, and I think what was really falling out of bed was working for somebody else, but I'd always done it for all my life, so it was by that time sort of late 40s sort of touch, you know. And I turned to a really good friend of mine, which is normally a good thing to do, and she was doing really well. Her name's Jennifer Sheehan. She runs a company called Facebook Ads Lab, and she does a lot of work on Facebook. And she started from nothing in probably the late 2000s and picked up on that boom that came at that time. And she sort of started me on it. And the very next person I got hold of and started reading about these sort of things was Mike Stelzner, who I would imagine you know Mike quite well, do you?
Yes, I'm aware, yes.
So he does the book launch, and very close after that, and very much in the formative time, I picked up and surfed around and found a blog post by a guy called Corbett Barr. And that was one where he was interviewing you, and there was this video post on the Web 2.0 one. I think that was probably way back, 2008, 2009, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a real fascinating piece of viewing for me, and it really sort of molded probably the next 2 years of my life. So I've subsequently from that point sort of followed you on, and consequently it's been a big part of what I'm doing today. So I just want to say thank you for that.
I mean, it's quite a bit to me. It really is. It's a very substantial part of what I do it for, to hear stories like that. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, that's very kind. And just one of the, you know, I mean, the thing that went on for that video was Crush It, the book, which really,
of course,
you know, I think there was ideas that were forming in my mind. And when you're at these very early stages, it's very reassuring to have somebody who's actually thinking along the same lines and actually having experienced it, knowing it, and advocating that you should do it. It was a fascinating read. I'd like to know a little bit more about the new book you're doing, Jab, 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 Right Hook, because I've just checking on Amazon. That isn't actually out yet. Have you finished that yet?
I have finished it. You know, the book world moves a little bit slower than the entrepreneur world, so it'll be out in a month, but it is done, yep.
So what's the update there, Gary? What's obviously that's bringing your new and latest thoughts into play. I mean, the world is so fast changing. I mean, we all experience it. What's it about?
It's about content, and it's about the current state of storytelling. You know, meaning, I learned a lot from writing Crush It and Thank You Economy. Both did extremely well. Both have been really fun journeys for me. But what's really interesting is, Crush It had some real tangible call to actions. You may recall reading it for the first time, and it talked about, you know, setting up a blog or what you could do on Facebook or Twitter and things of that nature,
sure.
Especially more YouTube and Tumblr blogging and video blogging, right?
That's right.
More personal stuff. This one is the most extreme. I would almost call Jab, 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 Right Hook a textbook. I'm obsessed with the notion of turning it into a utility more than content, right?
Okay.
And so it's my thesis of how do you actually get your name and your story out there no matter what you do, whether you sell ebooks, whether you sell sneakers, whether you sell wine, no matter what you're selling, you're trying to get your story out there. And then what it really does is it really kind of goes through each of the relevant platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, and it takes 86 case studies and talks about how I see things that are good and how I see things that are bad with these individual pieces of content, and really gives people a blueprint of how to actually storytell to drive results on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram. And that's what it's about.
So that's bringing right up to date where we are and, you know, where it's going to be in a couple of years' time. You'll probably have enough energy in the pumps again to stick another book out in that time, because it will change in that time. I think one thing that doesn't change is, and my understanding of you is you've been doing what you do since you were probably 3 years old. In terms of your commercial approach and your approach to business, we're certainly different people. I mean, my parents and the way I was brought up, they were sort of academic and educational. It's sort of quite a closeted background in some respects. Mm-hmm. It didn't breed a business mind, and you've always had this business mind. Do you think you were born with that, or do you think that's something you've learned? And do you think people that aren't initially in business can learn to do this?
To a degree. So I think the answer is yes. I think I was born with it. And I do think that I was lucky to have parents that cultivated it.
Yeah.
And didn't suppress it, right? We were immigrants and needed to make our way. And the only way to do that was to make money. So business was very looked upon in a very positive light, instead of, you know, as generations go by, it goes the other way, right? Because then you have the money and now you're going for the other EQ or intellectual or education. There's many things to aspire towards. So I do think to a degree, let me explain. I think that I could become a better skier and a better song singer and a better piano player and a better cook than I am right now.
Uh-huh.
However, I think my talent limits me to some degree.
Yep.
And so that's my question. That's my answer, right? Do I think that at 49, you can shift from being academic or career oriented or working for somebody and then be your own entrepreneur? I do. But I do think that everybody has natural God gifted abilities. And I think that finding what you're great at really does matter and brings a lot of happiness. On the same token, boy, this control of being able to do what you want to do at all times have a very sexy appeal to it. And I think that's what entrepreneurship and being one's boss allows to deliver. You get a lot more flexibility, and at least your mistakes are controlled by you all the way through. It's just control, right?
It's
options. And I think, so to answer the question full circle, I think it's God-gifted, but I think it's God-gifted the same way Michael Jackson was God-gifted. You know, like, there's varying degrees of talent. I think business is business acumen, entrepreneurship skills, looks a hell of a lot more like sports and theater than people realize.
No, I agree. And, you know, I totally accept where I am. And it's been interesting because, like, to have a complete pivot and complete change in 2 years, you know, what you do when you, to me, when you approach something new, you tend to splatter out in all kinds of directions to try and find your place. And I reckon it's taken me 2 years to do that. And this sort of brings me around to where I'm sort of sitting now. And it's it's one of the social media platforms that I notice you are pretty influential in. I mean, I classify myself as a network type personality, client relationships, and certainly towards business. So I focus now pretty much primarily on the platform of LinkedIn and trying to solve people's problems within that. And I have a fledgling little business that is starting to get some ground in helping people with profiles, helping people with company pages, and just understanding that power of leverage they have there. Now, I just want to understand a little bit about where you sit with LinkedIn, because you certainly, I'm thinking you're one of their authority bloggers, one of their authority writers. Am I correct in that?
Yes, they call it influencers. I think they have 100 or so, or maybe a little more now, but that's exactly right. I do put out a lot of content on LinkedIn.
How do you, you know, I mean, that's one platform with all the social media that we've mentioned here. And you know, I know you do engage with it. And there was an interesting message you put out the other night saying, who sees this? And so I see sort of different sides of what you're doing on the platform. Like, you're writing these really long pieces, and the last one on context was a really interesting piece. And then you're putting out a question like, who sees this? Why do you do that different thing there? What was there a purpose to both? Yeah, obviously to one, but the who sees this question was an interesting one to me. What was behind that?
Behind that was I look at LinkedIn a little less of a social network and a little more of a utility and content play.
Yeah.
Right? And I wanted to get, so the influencer stuff, I know I get a lot of engagement on, but actually posting a status update on LinkedIn in a Facebook or Twitter manner, I wasn't quite sure how much engagement I would get. And so to use this gave me a very clear indication of how much people are paying attention to their news feeds. And I do that on all platforms because it gives me a baseline of context to understand how many people are paying attention. Because I don't care how many people follow me. I care how many people actually pay attention.
Okay. We're actually struggling with a really sort of bad line here, unfortunately, at the moment.
Did you hear? Did you hear my answer? Because I can repeat it.
If you can, because you're now a heck of a lot clearer than you were.
Great. What I said was the reason I did that was to create a baseline of how many people are actually paying attention to me versus how many people actually follow me, right?
Okay.
So I don't use LinkedIn like a social network like I do Facebook and Twitter. I look at it more as a utility and a content play, but obviously the news feed is maturing and it's becoming more social. And I wanted to get a sense of how many people that are following me actually are truly paying attention versus how many people are following me overall.
That's fantastic. And it sort of answers that sort of question as I wondered why you were doing that. I mean, to me as a platform, it's a really interesting thing because I think there's a misnomer with a lot of people about LinkedIn about what it actually physically does. And I think within a business remit, it's one of the more powerful platforms that are out there. And
what's powerful is that it's the context of the entire experience is under the notion of business.
Correct.
And so you're allowed to be a businessman or woman at all times on LinkedIn, where that becomes a little less attractive on Facebook and Twitter.
And to me, I mean, I've used the analogy with it. It's like a new Yellow Pages in a lot of ways, and the difference being there's, you know, over 200 million people on it. You know, I mean, everywhere in the world has had Yellow Pages, and you know, we all understand the context of what that's about. And you know, with that, it used to be that you used to get your free line entry, but then you could pay for your big banner entries. And it amazes me now that with LinkedIn, you can do, you know, if you put the effort in and you make your profile really count, you can have that free banner entry. It's all about that leverage thing that you can do for yourself. And you know, this it amazes me how many people don't take advantage of that. And I don't know if you've got any ideas on why that, you know, why do you think people don't pick up on these things? Or is it just not understanding?
No, I think it's a time issue. I mean, yes, the answer is people don't understand. There's many things. People don't understand it. Number two, you can't do all of that. Listen, I don't do LinkedIn. I mean, now that I'm in the influencer program, I have a different kind of situation. But I will tell you that I'm way better on Twitter and Facebook than I am on Tumblr or Pinterest or Instagram. Some people are just naturally more talented at or naturally understand different platforms, right? So
yeah,
you
sure.
may be over-indexing on LinkedIn, but I may be able to go look at your Facebook or your Pinterest or your Tumblr or your Twitter and go, wow, you're lost. And so I think back to your splatter comment, I think a lot of people are defaulting, and you can't manage five or six platforms by yourself. And so I think people are defaulting and paying attention to the one or two that most over-index for them.
Which I suppose makes sense.
Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. But having said that, I get the background of what you're saying is realistically they do need to sort of have a broad outlook and a broad aspect on all the facilities that are there for them.
I think every person is different. Like, you know, I put so much time and effort into engagement and content that, you know, all of them make sense for me to have a presence on. But, you know, and they go through an ebb and flow. Like, there'll be 6 months where I'm hot on Pinterest and then I won't do as much or focus on as much for a little while. So just it's ebb and flow.
Yeah, and forever there, you know, I suppose we have these static platforms that are there and there are things that come and go and, you know, what's powerful now might not be in a couple of years' time and things do change. I mean, that's the one sure fact of this thing, isn't it? Can you tell us just a little bit about what you're doing with your company, VaynerMedia, now, how things have changed for you? Because I know you went from Wine Library and now you have this rather large company. What's happening with VaynerMedia these days?
We're up to 280 people. We're growing very quickly. We're a creative and strategy agency around social network and storytelling in the year we actually live in, between mobile devices and social networks. We're landing a lot of big business. We're getting better. I'm enjoying it. It's client service. So it can be tricky at times and a headache at times, but overall, it's been fruitful. It's been exciting. I'm learning a lot, and the company's doing extremely well. We're becoming literally the premier social media agency in the world, and that's the agenda.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. There's one other little video I did catch you the other day talking to some guys in university, talking about how you tested your pricing, which I thought was really funny and actually was a very useful thing that you know how you actually find the price point for what you want to do and test that is an interesting question for anybody.
Especially for someone like yourself, right, who's never run their own business before, it probably was very helpful because you know, you're going through these things for the first time, right?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, you have...
I mean, through that video, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I've literally had 100 people already email me and say, Jesus, you literally changed my business. Like, literally, I was charging $500 a project, and now I'm charging $1,500 because, like you told me, I said 1,000. The person said yes. The next person said yes at 1,500. And the third person said no at 2,000.
And now you know.
And now you know. And by the way, one no isn't enough, right? Maybe the next person will say yes to 2,000. So, you know, it's an evolving process. But it makes me feel so nice that I was given a lot of natural business sense and that now we live in a world where I can share that. Because I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not selfish with my knowledge because I'm not going to get to every business and get to every client and get to every opportunity. So the halo effect has been quite powerful.
I think you've grown up and you've taken advantage in the most positive ways of an incredible changing time in the world. And, it's one of those things where you just wish when you're from my position that you've been even considering and thinking this 3 or 4 years ago, because, you know, every year would make such a hell of a difference these days. But, you know, as you said before, it's all, you know, to me, it's all about control of your life. And quite frankly, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And
I get it. I mean, I never have. And the only time I wasn't in control was in school, and I failed every one of my classes. So I know that I'm not meant for that.
Amazing how many people who are of a similar ilk do exactly the same thing, you know?
Yep.
Good. Well, look, you know, I know you're a really busy guy. I've asked you a few questions, and it's been a distinct pleasure, as I say, to actually make your acquaintance. So, Gary, I just want to thank you very much for spending the time on Biz Network Guy. Just so people know how we actually fundamentally managed to do this was through a thing called Live Ninja.
Yep.
And can you just explain what you're doing with that, because it might be interesting to others?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they had a great way to create a calendar app. I was looking for a calendar app to do this one interview a day thing, and Live Ninja is really a video platform, but they had a great job of organizing the events, and so that's why I went with that platform. Just really good people out of Miami, Florida, or Florida. Really worthwhile to anybody who does, you know, Skyping or live streaming. They have a great platform worth checking out.
I'll certainly put some links in. And just one final question. Have you managed to keep up with the numbers?
Yes, I have. I mean, we missed some. We had a little bit of an unfortunate situation. The person that was managing this for me, we parted ways. And so some of the data got lost. So I've been trying to reconcile it. So I, up until June, I made every day. And then the summer months were a little difficult as I was, like, re-picking up the data. But I'm pretty darn close. I think we'll probably net out at 250 to 300 out of 365. I was well on my way to 365, so I'm a little disappointed in the circumstance that created the situation. But, you know, such is life, and I'm doing the best I can.
It certainly is, and I've got to tell you that I'm one of those people that got lost in the middle. So you definitely found me, and thank you very much.
That makes me happy. Now, let me ask you one last question. Where do you live?
I live in United Kingdom, just northeast of London, near a city called Norwich.
So I don't know if you saw yet, but I'm going to start promoting very shortly. I'm going to be in London for my book signing, maybe December 12th, I think is the date that pops in my mind. So I'm sure you'll see it for me because I know you follow. And so, you know, it'd be really, really an honor to, like, get to say hello.
Well, that would be fantastic. And I'll, you know, if within my power, I'll make that happen. Are you doing any, just so anybody knows, are you doing any other things? Are you talking or speaking over here?
It's going to be called VaynerWorld. I think if you go to VaynerWorld.com, you should go check it out. It's put together by some fans that have been friends of mine in the past. And I think, yeah, I mean, literally, they just launched the website either today or yesterday. So go check it out. I know that they bought a lot of books to make it happen. So I think, like, there's a ticket price so that you get a book. So, you know, they're kind of playing it that way. Check it out. But I'll be there from, like, I'm flying in from Paris where I'm speaking at Les Web. And I'll be in London from, like, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. that day doing this event. So check it out.
Yeah, look, Gary, I'm in. I'll be there. That'll be fantastic. It'll be a delight to come and say and shake your hand, hopefully.
Fantastic, mate. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I really appreciate it. And have a great week.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Gary Vaynerchuk. I will put all the detail in the show notes of the websites we've talked about and the fact he's coming over and invited me to go and meet him. That's quite a nice, pleasurable thing. You never know, we might get a second interview out of it. As you can tell there, the web sound, that was actually a phone call that we were making, and at times it wasn't the best sound, but due to the nature of the person and who he is, I think that's certainly worth having on there and certainly worth showing. So, look, thanks very much for listening again. This is Biz Network Guy. We'll be back with another podcast soon. The dog needs a walk. I've got to go.